Warning, the following content occasionally contains adult themes and language, which is not intended for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
And welcome back to another episode of Cinematic Rewind. Joining me today to talk about Gonjium is Munster.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
And Regent.
How's it going, everyone?
Pretty good, pretty good. This movie very much surprised me, and we'll definitely dive into that. But the only rating I can find is an IMDb rating of 6.3 out of 10, which I think is criminally underrated. But I have to dive into that more. Have you guys even heard of this film before it was brought up to record about it or to talk about it?
No, I really have not had no history with the movie. Honestly, I didn't even know this one existed until you brought it to my attention.
Yep, and I've never heard it before.
Neither had I. So the way I found this horror film was by watching this series called like Horror Movies That Actually Scared Me or Movies to Watch in October. And this came up as like pretty high on the list of like horror movies that are legitimately like either spooky or scary, however you want to categorize it. And so I was like, okay, we definitely got to give this one a go. So I watched it and it was definitely spooky. I don't know if I was like super scared, but it was definitely unnerving to say the least. Like I was like, ooh, turn the volume down, maybe turn up the brightness a little bit. Other than that, it wasn't terrible. What did you guys think, like horror wise where does it rank for you? Like, how did it make you like feel? And I'll throw that to you first, Regent.
You're talking to the person who's watched a ton of horror movies in their lifetime, so much that right from when I was 5 years old I watched the original like 80s horror movies that most people have come to love as a film legacies between the different characters in the horror genre. Unfortunately, this movie didn't really do anything for me, because I've seen other found footage movies that were like this. It just didn't do anything for me in terms of horror or scares. I can understand why it's the third most popular horror movie in Korea from where it was recorded, edited, and released in the start. Just didn't do anything for me. Like, I got the jump scares before they came, because a lot of the horror movie tropes were there, the possessions and some of the extra parts that were going on in the movie. You can find those in other horror movies that have been out easily a decade before this movie was even considered to be made. It almost felt like I was watching a trope movie, but without the comedy, like a parody movie.
Okay. What about you, Munster? How do you feel about it?
I was actually bored with the movie. That's sad as to say. At first, I was interested, but I felt like it took too long to get to the real horror stuff. Like, it felt like the horror stuff for me was like in the last 15 minutes. I think when I look back at some of the horror movies I've enjoyed in life, I enjoy like a consistent scare throughout. This movie did make me feel uneasy at certain times, but honestly, it was pretty spot on with Regent. And I'm not a big horror buff. I've seen a decent amount of horror movies throughout my life, and this genre of this is definitely not the scariest. The scariest for me personally is more of the gory stuff. Like I actually do get uneasy seeing too much like flesh being ripped and stuff like that, those kind of horror movies. And with this one, I know in real life I don't fuck with ghosts, any of that kind of stuff. Like I don't play around with any of that kind of stuff, so I would think I would be scared, but honestly after a while just wasn't interested in it, as much as I hate to say it. And as we describe, I think I have a reason for it, but at the current point of it is, unfortunately, about 30 minutes in, I got bored, and then I got reinterested in the last 15 minutes, but that's essentially when they all started disappearing near the end, and that was it.
That's fair. I'd say the reason why I think I enjoyed this more is because like my horror catalog is relatively low and most of what I have seen has been boring to me. So it was nice to really find something that was kind of different in the aspect of, I don't think it actually relied on too many tropes, if I'm being honest. Like I've seen enough horror movies to recognize the tropes, but for me, this didn't really too heavily rely on that. Did it supersede them? Not really.
I mean, the awkward, all look at each other, and then something happens. The something's behind me, I'm going to eerily shake my camera at me, and then there it is. That's been done plenty of times in other baseball movies. When it comes to this type of movie and the direction it was going in, it absolutely cried out to me, Blair Witch meets The Ring, because it was using elements of horror.
I just want to agree with you right quick. Totally spot on, because I think I might have more than you venture on the horror than I didn't. I thought you had a large catalog. I've been watching about every year. I watch a few since I was probably like 8 years old or 8 or 9 years old. I feel like I predicted almost everything that happened. And it's just because exactly what Regent's talking about is that maybe we've just seen these type of movies before. Like, I knew when the horror was going to pop up because the lead up was so predictable.
Right, and it's not to say that the film didn't have predictability. I'm not stating that at all. I would actually agree with you. It was a little predictable, but that didn't make me enjoy it any less because it was, I don't know, there was something about the way that they shot this film and edited it together with almost amateur-like camera work that made it feel a little bit more real to me, which is nice because you got to see the imperfections because obviously they're scared. They're going into a haunted asylum. Ooh. And so those camera imperfections to me really helped amplify like the actual like spook factor of it.
Do you ever watch these type of films before, like the Blair Witch Project and anything? How did you feel about Blair Witch? Not to switch subjects, but just,
I mean, it was good. I don't think it was as good as this though.
I wonder if it's, for me, the found footage film, that was my first one. And I feel like that raised the bar, and that's why it was a hit back then. And I wonder if that may have changed things.
I think that might, because like this isn't my first found footage film, but I feel like of the found footage films I have seen, this so far has been the best one.
Regent, please chime in. You had something.
No, I was going to ask him if he's watched other like suspense, like supernatural movies like Cabin Fever, Evil Dead, both the original and the remake.
I have seen Evil Dead, yes.
Which one?
The original.
With Bruce Campbell?
Mm-hmm.
And have you seen like Cabin in the Woods?
I have not. I recently got recommended that film, though. But based off of what I heard, I'm not going to enjoy it.
Depending on your love for horror movies and the stereotypes that came with them and the tropes in the later generations, it's basically it's a horror movie that metas on itself and makes fun of all the genres, but also gives it like subtle nods of respect. I hate saying it, but I think both Munster and I are going to be on the opposite end of the boat with you, because when it comes to horror and found footage films, there's just so much better out there. I'm not going to, like, I get it for you that it's different than the ones you've seen, and that's more power to you, absolutely, at the end of the day. Just from what have watched and what I've seen, there's so much better content than this movie out there, at least when it comes to horror found footage. I mean, the only real movies that are even trying to be found footage, a really good one is REC is a fantastic,
yes,
found footage horror movie.
I was just gonna say those.
And that one does have a little bit of gore-esque, but it's more of a gore of you see it happening and then you see the people getting pulled away and you're like, dear God, what happened? And then another good supernatural horror movie that actually doesn't get a lot of credit is called The Gallows. That's a horror movie based on a stage play gone wrong where a kid gets hanged during the stage like show. And then years later comes back and haunts the school and kills people by literally hanging and pulling them away from the people they're with to make it look like their death. That had more jump scare value than this film.
Right. And I think that's where we would differ. And I want to ask both of your opinions on this is, what do you guys think about jump scares?
I do feel I need some of it. Not too much, but I do feel you need a few spread out. And I don't want a movie that relies heavily on it. I like a movie that, the best part out of this movie was the uneasing feeling. But unfortunately, after a while, I started just predicting so much that it just didn't feel uneasy anymore. It's like when you play like a horror video game, but you have so much ammo where you're like, you don't really get scared because you have so much ammo and you can just die and come back or something. You kind of lose the fear in it. That's kind of how this movie was. After it became so predictable, I kind of knew the jump scare came, so I was prepared for it. I like movies like It, especially the most recent version of It had a few jump scares, and I loved it when It did that because it made me uneasy, it made me jump, and then it brought on continuous horror elements. So I feel like you should have a few, and I think it's because of the cinematic experience of it, because it's still a movie, and I feel like that's where horror can do really well, where you're watching it, but you're so into it that you take yourself out of the real world and you put yourself into their shoes, and that's why you are uneasy and the jump scares really scare you then.
Yeah, and for me, jump scares, in moderation's key. They do serve a purpose, but they gotta be meaningful. If I'm watching a scene and they're literally taking a good 30 seconds to a minute looking around and then something happens, that's too many red flags of, okay, well, this is coming up. Okay, well, the moment's gone. A really great, at least to me, a great representation of what a good jump scare is would have to be the first, I think it's the Conjuring movie, when the husband and wife are talking to the owner of the house. And as they're talking, the red lipstick demon pops up right behind them as they're having casual brunch and the owner and the wife are freaking out. That is ideally what a great jump scare is. You're in a scene, you're watching it. Okay, well, nothing's happening. You know, they're talking, just passing conversation to be filler and lore to the movie. And then out of nowhere, boom, demon shows up or the villain shows up saying hello. It moves on to the next thing to really amp up that suspension, that heart rate. You should get like fingers feeling like clammy and like being like sweaty, something like that. There has to be a buildup and payoff. Jumping from jump to jump really waters down the effect. And it just becomes now a game of how many times can we catch you off guard versus, hey, we're trying to make this really be a horror movie versus a jump scare fest, which a lot of horror movies have been doing that.
To add to that, I would like to point out, I think one of the best ways to do a jump scare is giving you that feeling of safety and to snatch that away from you. And I love when a horror movie does that. It sucks because you think, like, I remember that's the thing about Scream, and we talked about it before. One of the things I enjoyed about Scream was where it was like you could still have gotten killed in broad daylight around people, and that brought in such horror elements because you would think you would be safe, but even in that movie, someone still died in broad daylight around people and the killer didn't get caught. So it was like that kind of horror element. That to me is a jump scare where it's like, oh shit. And it just still keeps that adrenaline and uneasiness.
Or Friday the 13th part, the first one, and the movie, Alice is on the boat in the middle of the lake.
That boat scene still gets me, man. Yeah.
And then she's just like calm, taking a deep breath. Like, I survived Mrs. Voorhees. Nothing. I should be safe. Lisa will be here soon to, you know, help get me home. Boom. Body of Jason comes out of the water and just scares the daylights. And she screams and then freaks out. And then it cuts away to the end of the movie.
Oh, he grabs her. You got to remember that part. Yeah, he grabs her too. Yeah.
Hell, even the beginning of Nightmare on Elm Street when Freddy Krueger grabs Tina and she immediately snaps up and isn't just pure sweating of pure fear of, oh my God, what the heck is that? Because she's looking around, takes a moment to step forward, like, where'd he go? And then bam, right behind her. Those are great jump scares. Like, those are great.
Where do you feel, Venture, on that?
I think jump scares are some of the cheapest horror that you can get because a thing that anyone can do is quickly put something on camera that you're not expecting, or even if you are expecting it, just have it be loud and in your face to get you to jump and, you know, get your heart rate up for maybe 20 seconds, but that's about it. I feel like good jump scares are lead up, and a good example of that is the movie Hereditary. And when it's towards the end of the film, if you guys have seen it, where the kid gets out of bed, like he wakes up after being passed out from slamming his face in the desk at school, he wakes up and he sees his dead sister in the corner. He's staring at her, and all of a sudden you just see the mom like creepily run in the background. You're not expecting it. It happens really quickly, so like freak out for like 1 second, but that builds up to something happening later on. And that happened in this film, being when he puts his arm inside the cabinet. And of course, at this point, we know that they are faking scares in order to get more views, and it's only when she puts her arm in that the real jump scare happens, because she puts it in, nothing happens. She actually gets pulled and scratched. And that to me is a good jump scare because it leads up to something happening at another time, because then the ghost actually comes out of that coffin cabinet thing. Other than that, jump scares are cheap.
I mean, Monster and I both see and we raise you with torture porn.
Torture porn, I feel like, is pointed at a certain audience who can't really handle gore, and there are a lot of people who can handle gore.
I'll just straight up ask you, so when it comes to this movie being supernatural and horror, do you personally have a favorite supernatural horror movie?
Supernatural horror movie? Not really. I would say that it would have to be, I kind of like Hush if I had to pick a horror movie, but if it was a TV show, Haunting of Hill House all of the way.
Well, that one we knew for a long time from all of our discussions.
Yes, and I want to talk about the rest of the season. God damn it.
When it comes to supernatural horror movies, if you want supernatural, depending on the direction you want to go with it, because that's even vague, it really comes down to if you want supernatural in terms of religion and deity, or supernatural as in, you know, a villain that can't simply die without a reason or a backstory. I would say a really good supernatural movie based on deity or religion. So basically from what you're saying with your preference for Netflix for supernatural, I would definitely say look into other supernatural movies out there in the horror genres as great pillars or pinpoints of ideas from what this film took from, and explore those avenues too, just that way you can broaden your horror catalog a little bit further. I will say I did like the theming of them trying to get famous off of it, because there's only very few movies that have done that recently. I did appreciate that they were trying to use that as a focal point of them getting scared to try to get counts or views based on the amount of scares they could do to each of them to generate an audience. Outside of that, this movie, I know this is a once and done for me. It's gonna be that easy.
I think one of the things that this film did really, really well was casting. I'm not super familiar with these actors or actresses at all, but the way that they acted, especially Charlotte in that one scene where she gets trapped in room 402, that complete and utter fear felt so real. It felt like a nightmare sequence. Like you could see the near genuine fear on her face. And it felt like a nightmare that I've, you know, had similarities to before. Obviously, I've never had that exact nightmare. But it was so nice to see that basically the cornerstone of the horror in this film wasn't the ghost. It was the fear that they felt. And that to me was a good difference. Is usually the horror in other films is like, oh, this person's getting torn apart. It's a scary demon. It's a ghost moving objects. This, the horror was their fucking fear. And I loved that.
I think at that moment with Charlotte, from there on out, is my favorite part of the film. I just wish that was focused on more throughout the film, because I was keeping track. It was about an hour in, and I was still like, when is anything serious about to go down? I feel like it was just so long of a lead up to start getting to those things. I think some of the horror movies I've enjoyed, something like that starts happening about 30 minutes in to 40 minutes. And if that was something I could change, something I do enjoy is when the ending, like the fact that no one survived this, I did enjoy that, because sometimes they always have like one or two people survive, and you have like the people that you like, or the biggest paid actor or actress survive. I'm glad it wasn't anything like that. And I kind of wish there was like a tease of saving them. I saw like, not to spoil it, but one of the Final Destinations does that, or a couple of them do that, where they make you think you're still safe and then something still happens. Like, I kind of wish they did that, where maybe one or two of them thought they were going to finally escape right at the end. They kind of outsmarted everything, but to find out it was still a trick just to get them. And they kind of did that with the last guy, which I liked how they did that with him. And I saw online for a lot of people, it's like one of people's favorite scenes of mine too, how creepy that was. But I just wish it was kind of spread out more, a little bit more tense things. Maybe it all happened too fast, too close together right at the end.
I would agree with you on the aspect that it took too long to actually get to the real stakes of the film. While I do think that build up is important, I feel like there was so much unnecessary fat at the beginning of the film that could have been either changed or just completely cut out.
Yeah, and was I the only one thought some of that fat that you're talking, that it was going to lead to something? Like, one of the moments was where that guy was telling that girl that she would have to leave. I'm not going to front, the whole time he kept bringing that up, I thought that was going to pay off to something, because he said it so many times. I was like, wait, is this going to be something where, like, if I rewatch the film, this is going to mean something? Which I know I probably overthought it, but they brought it up so much, I thought it was going to lead to something.
I thought so too. Even if it was like a stupid romantic subplot, I thought it was going to go somewhere, but it didn't.
You can kind of say a lot of the other stuff that was the fat in the film didn't really lead anything. It was really just filler.
Like, I thought the trope that they were going to play at the end of the film would have been really solid, but they actually didn't go through with it. Typically, when a horror film goes through with, like, the giving you a background on the person, they expand on, like, ooh, like, look at this loss of life and look at all that they kind of left behind. But they didn't do that at all. They showed maybe a few interests, like, this girl's in nursing and look at how much fun they're having. And it was literally just for the fact they were having fun. It wasn't that way the end of the film was more tragic. It was just, they're having fun.
Yeah, and did the whole sequence about them putting the drone in the air, did that pan off for anything?
It did.
Which part? Because I forgot.
At the end of the film, when the captain finally goes to go into the asylum and he, like, throws the drone into the air and he can see that previous patient basically eating Charlotte.
Oh, that's what that part one was. Okay, I got that mixed up.
That fucked with me. I was like, holy shit, she's been eaten.
Well, then also it was recording the event of him getting himself hanged by the ghost.
Oh, was that what that was?
That's what the camera was? Okay, I remember there was a camera on the floor, but I thought that was like his like chest piece. But I forgot he didn't really have a chest one.
So it was a future recording of his own death? That's pretty fucking dope. Actually, now that gives more props to that drone ankle. Look at Regent giving props to this film.
Oh, no, I was just correcting. But...
yeah, exactly. He's like, I'm explaining. I'm not giving it props.
I'm providing information, not compliments. Those are two different things.
Don't take this away from me, goddamn it. Yeah, I really think that some of the stuff that they did in this film either could have been completely cut out or rewritten, and it would have improved the film immensely. I really think that had they tried to explain the whole, like, oh, we're faking stuff, what they could have done instead was say, hey, they were going to fake stuff, but some stuff happened on its own anyways, like completely unrelated. Like if at that first like ritual, instead of the bells going off, some stuff that they didn't plan on having move would have been so much better and would have started to build that fear there versus 20-30 minutes down the road.
I mean, honestly, when Charlotte wrote her name on the board and wrote down the let's live, when they started to walk away to go to the next room, there should have been a camera angle panning to the lettering and watch it change to let's die. That would have been a great way to build like tension, like, oh crap, someone's coming for them.
Yeah, because even though it's not in English, like we could have just seen that the lettering was very different and even the subtitles could have been like it changed.
Yeah, and branching off of what Venture said, I think also what they could have done was different people could have saw stuff but not acknowledge it. Kind of like what you're talking about is like one person could have noticed like, I don't remember doing that, and yet the thing happened with the bells, where everyone else is okay with it, like, oh, or at least they were on the inside job, but that person could have kind of kept it to themselves. It would have been stuff like that where each person might have had something where, just like what you're talking about, where it's like, I didn't mean to do it, but it did happen.
Yeah, I would have also enjoyed having the first half of the film be in the asylum. Like they basically be like, hey, we're going to explore it, and then immediately go to the asylum pretty much, and have the first half of the film actually have them trying to debunk it on camera. Like what they did with the wig, be like, oh, this explains that and that. And then the second half of the film is we fucked around and found out too much.
That's typically how I've seen horror movies go about it. That's why I was shocked when, after quite some time in the movie, I checked the timeline. And I was like, wow, I still got 30 minutes. I feel like nothing happened yet. Because I think it's almost like 30 or 40 minutes. It's still just them doing a lot of the same stuff. Going into a room, trying to see what kind of stuff they could record. Either fake a scare or it's real. And I'm like, I can't think of too many movies that would spend 40 minutes on that.
Okay, so what do you guys think was either the biggest payoff or the biggest waste of potential in this film? And I'll go to you first, Regent.
It's one and the same. When the Charlotte and the other girl try to leave the hospital to go find the tent, and they see all the things from the one room just thrown out in the woods in front of them, and Charlotte goes up and taps the girl, and the girl turns and faces her with dilated black eyes and just starts speaking in gibberish, and then Charlotte turns into a white screen and then pulled into the woods. That whole scene was the epitome of both the biggest potential and kind of the biggest waste of film in that movie, because I thought it would lead up to something either more or something akin to she sees her friend being possessed, gassed, and all of a sudden she gets pulled into the woods versus the white screen and then hugging. Felt like there definitely could have been more to be done there to make it more impactful.
I would agree, and I'd like to expand on that before I pass it off to Munsta. I really think that we should have expanded more on the first girl's death because it happened so quickly. We didn't even see it happen, really. And I want to give props to what they did where she runs into the tent and she's now in room 402. That was fantastic. Love that.
Oh yeah, I'll join you on that. Right when that happened, I was like, finally, something good happened, or entertaining. Because when I saw that, I was like, yes, now that's horror. That's how you do that. I was not expecting that.
And then when you saw the patient in the background just standing there creepily.
See, that reminds me of like things like Silent Hill and stuff like that. I felt uneasy with her. And I agree earlier what you were talking about. Her acting was on point. It was phenomenal. That's actually one of my favorite scenes in the film because I feel like it mastered everything. The uneasy tension, the horror elements. The question of the biggest payoff and or the biggest letdown. I would say the biggest letdown for me was I kind of didn't care about nobody in the film. Usually when I see a horror movie, I feel like there's a hero or somebody. Like I felt sorry for them in some sense, but at the same time they knew what they were getting into, unfortunately. So I also kind of was like, if this was American made, I would have been like, that's white folks for you. Like I can't see a whole black folks movie or somebody doing something like that. I'm like, man, if you ever see like these crazy horror movies, it's usually like the white family moving into the haunted house and they're like, don't worry, it's gonna be okay. Yeah, might have been like 12 people murdered here 30 years ago, but it's all good. And y'all know I'm not lying. There's been plenty of movies and shows that way.
Yes, it has.
And so with that being said, I already kind of didn't care for them because of that. Sometimes when I watch movies, I do want to root for somebody. So don't get me wrong. I don't want to say like, oh, y'all deserved all that to happen. But once again, it was predictable. It was like, well, y'all are kind of being douchey to each other. Y'all kind of doing the typical young folks. After watching things like Friday the 13th, it's like, well, good thing y'all didn't try to have sex, because it would have probably even been even worse for y'all. But yeah, I think that's the main thing. I don't really think there was a great payoff in the film for me. There was just a few entertaining highlights. I'm more disappointed because for how high it was spoken, and even outside of this podcast, I looked online and it looked like it had decent reviews from wherever it did. And even I watched it on YouTube because it's actually free on YouTube. So I watched it there in the comments. They all said such great things. So I'm like, oh, wow, okay. I don't know why. I did not feel the same way.
And that's how I watched it too.
I also watched it on YouTube. Anywho, I'd say the biggest letdown was the fact that they didn't expand more on each of the patients. I think it would have been very interesting had they each died of a different cause. Now, granted, they died due to three different causes, but there were seven people. You could have had seven different causes of death that could have all been related to where they found, where they fucked around and found out. Like, for instance, the guy who stuck his hand in the box and held the doll should have died to the one holding the doll, not Charlotte. Charlotte died to the one holding the doll. So I really think that each and every single one of them should have died to a different one, and the captain should have been the one who died at the hands of all of them, like that last guy did.
I agree with you. I would have cared more because I barely remember anything about the asylum. They kind of talked a few tidbits and stuff like that, but typically in a movie like this, I feel like they would expand more on the asylum. I think that would have been a great idea, doing something like that where each death was by someone different. Even if you had to go back on a rewatch and connect the dots, I'd be cool with that. Like if you go back like, oh, in the beginning of the movie, they talked about this patient, and that's how you can tell, you know, the third person who died, they died to them because of these kind of markings on her body. Stuff like that would have been real cool to kind of push you to go back and rewatch the clues. But yeah, that definitely was a missed opportunity.
That, or even more so with, they find like an actual log book from the doctor talking about all six patients and how they each were uniquely traumatized, or they did experiments on and it ended up like possessing them and killing them, like something like that, to show that the lady in the photo was more demonic than what she appeared to be.
I did really like how the captain died, though. I do wish it was different, but I would say his is the second most interesting. Like, as soon as you saw those floating feet head towards him, you're just like, he's dead. Yep, he's dead.
Yeah, I think it was perfect.
Oh, yeah. I think the last half, like Munster said, was by far the most interesting, but that doesn't mean I didn't enjoy the rest of the film. I'd say the biggest payoff in this film was Room 402, because it paid off in every way that they said it would, and I was not disappointed.
Yeah, I can agree with that. I was a little bit confused, though, and maybe I misunderstood it, but didn't they say they were people who went there and still survived to come back and talk about certain things? Wasn't it that only the people who typically disappeared was people who opened that door?
So no one had ever opened the door. It's people who had attempted to open the door that survived. So like you saw in the beginning of the film, you saw that footage of like those teenagers going in. They attempted to open the door, but none of them actually succeeded.
I guess the part I'm a bit confused on is I feel like so much was happening before that door was open. I feel like they were going to die anyway before opening or attempting.
Yeah, and I really think it's because of the captain literally deciding to mess with the ghosts, pretend to be the ghosts, and that's the only reason that the ghost really got angry, is because he was kind of making fun of their trauma and making fun of the way that they died and were tortured, basically making fun of like the mutilation that they went through, and of course that made them angry, understandably.
Okay, that makes more sense. I'll give you that.
So maybe that's why other people were able to go in there and be perfectly fine, is because they just wanted to go see the fabled Room 402. They intentionally were fucking around. That's all I really have to say on the film. Is there anything you guys want to add?
No, I'm all good to go.
Same here.
Do you want to give your final wrap-ups? And we'll start with you first, Munster.
Yeah, this movie's aight. It's a movie that I'll say, like, yeah, I watched it, but it's definitely going to be one of those forgettable movies. It being a different language, especially Korean, that's probably is what's going to help it be memorable. But I lie to you not. If this was English made, I think this would have been like one of those B or even C horror rated movies that went straight to DVD and then thrown in the bargain box. I hate to trash on a movie like that because I feel like the movie was well made. I do want to give them credit on that. It was well made. You can see a good production done on it. So visually, it was pleasing to watch. I feel like 30 minutes of it was entertaining. So I do appreciate that it wasn't like a super long movie. So I will give it credit on that. But unfortunately, that's like 4 to 5 points. One other piece is like this. Now, this part is where it's more of my personal history with horror movies is if it makes it uneasy for me after I watch it or I think about it for days or it's hard for me to fall asleep, that's usually where I give a horror movie lots of check marks. But with this one, I almost forgot about it. so that's the unfortunate part. So my rating for the film, most immediate one's like a 4.5, but I'll give it at least a 5 out of 10.
Region?
Overall, I think the movie tried to bank on previous movies that are out there that have done the same exact thing while trying to make it its own thing, but ended up taking too many resources. The jump scares were predictable. It was not that scary. And for someone who's watched a lot of horror movie, it didn't do anything to, you know, break the mold or change the wheel. Honestly, I give this movie a 4 out of 10 because I watched it once and I completely forgot about it after the fact. Like, it did not stay with me outside of reminding myself all the movies I grew up watching on and where they took inspiration from.
I would have to give this movie like a 6 or 7 out of 10. I'd say it's imperfect because of its lack of development on the pain of the patient, the history of the asylum. I'd say it took a little too long to get going for me, and there was a lot of fat at the beginning that could have been trimmed. It's definitely not a perfect film. I did thoroughly enjoy the actual horror aspects of it. It kind of felt fresh while also being familiar with obviously being a found footage film and having some classic horror tropes in it, but not too heavily reliant on them. So I would definitely say it's worth a watch. Just note that you have to read subtitles because it is a Korean film. Other than that, good movie. I'd watch it again. Not this year, though. I'll probably watch it again next year. That's all we have to say on this episode. Regent and Munster, thank you very much for joining.
Pleasure as always.
Stay spooky.
All right, and thank you, listeners, for listening. If you did enjoy this episode, a like, share, review on whichever platform you are probably listening to this podcast on would be greatly appreciated. It is an excellent and free way to support the podcast. Also, we do have links below for you to give us movies/TV shows to listen to. If you all would suggest Haunting of Hill House the rest of the season, I would love you very much. Go ahead and do so we can cover the rest of the season, please. Thank you very much for listening. Have a wonderful rest of your day, and stay spooky, everyone. Bye!